Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato at Chesapeake Energy Arena after the Thunder's 107-100 loss to the Pacers. It's another loss. But with positives, like I hate doing the moral victory. I hate doing the moral victory thing, but it was so bad in Indiana. Like I cannot overstate how bad it was in Indiana. And tonight, much better, much closer game.
Yeah, and I mean it really, you know, started in the first quarter. I mean, I think the Thunder made a point to the Pacers that they were going to have, that this time they had a healthier Steven Adams than they had last time. And he just went right at Domantas Sabonis to start.
Old teammate.
Yeah, and they sort of kind of reinforced their will, and Adams finished 8 for 8, but he was 5 of 5, I think, in that first quarter, and was the Thunder's leading scorer. So I thought he set the tone for this game. I thought it was a more physical game, and one where, you know, the Thunder was in it for the whole game. I mean, it's another close game. That's what it is.
There's
another close loss.
So many, but yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We've seen it for the past three games where the Thunder go to Steven early and often, and it has been paying off. And like, I wish there was some other explanation besides he's just healthy, but when we ask, that's really what everyone comes up with. Like, yeah. I even tried to ask Billy Donovan tonight, like, other than health, was there anything different that you saw from Steven tonight compared to that first game when he was not good? And I think he finished the game with like 10 points or something that first game and has now doubled it. But Billy Donovan kind of was searching and trying to find something else, and then ended essentially saying that he was healthier. He was like, he was more athletic, he was more springy, and kept using very action-y adjectives to describe his game tonight. And that's really what it was, that he was a lot more of a physical presence and was for the whole game. I mean,
we just weren't seeing any 20-9 games from him to begin the season. I mean, and it started that first quarter, 5 of 5, like I said, 3 rebounds. And like, not only has like that first quarter followed a theme, but it's like first quarter really good. Second and third quarter, I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's something he's doing. I don't know if it's something the defense is doing well against him, but he's not showing up a ton. And then in the fourth quarters, it's like he's starting it and finishing very well right now.
Yeah. I mean, you had him come up, especially in that first half. I tracked for my game story all the times that he was involved in a go-ahead play, and there was a bunch.
Yeah.
It was like kind of a cop-out, but he started the game with free throws, and it was kind of a moment where we all looked at each other and were like, so do we think he still can make free throws? Sure did.
Made
all four of them, made those first two, got off to a good start there, and once he starts making free throws, especially from the beginning of the game, he's sending a message like, hey, you can't just foul me, I'm still going to score. And then he scored again to end the first half and put the Thunder up by one going into the halftime. And then he had an assist again in the third quarter for the go-ahead basket. And then in the fourth, he scored a tip-in for the go-ahead basket. So he just kept coming up in very clutch situations throughout the game.
Yeah, and he also had a big block on Malcolm Brogdon from what would have been a three-pointer had it gone in.
I don't think he could have gotten more of his hand on that.
No, I mean, it was
like entire palm.
Yeah.
Just like out on the perimeter, just boom. And then it went out of bounds and the Pacers got the ball back. But that three, if it had gone in, would have put the Pacers up by 6.
Yeah.
late in the game.
Just that play, like him getting out on the perimeter and like closing out on a three-point shooter. I mean, I don't think we would have seen that early when his knee was bothering him.
Yeah, no. I mean, you talk about quickness, you talk about explosiveness.
Yeah.
You need knees for that.
You need knees. The one thing we're still not seeing is like, again, so he played almost 29 minutes tonight, 28:43, which is more than he's been playing.
Yeah, I think he had 28.
Yeah, he had 28 last game against the Pelicans. But I looked this up yesterday. He played at least 30 minutes in 67 games last year. He's played 30 minutes in one game this year. So his minutes are just way down a considerable amount, more than half a quarter per game, basically. So I'm not. He does look healthy, but clearly the Thunder aren't going to push this where they're going to give him 35 minutes.
No, because they want him to continue to look like this through the end of the season. And there was an interesting moment at practice yesterday.
Yeah.
excuse me. It's winter. We're all getting a little under the weather. Joe had to leave the post-game interviews because he was coughing so much.
I don't want to contaminate anyone.
But what was I saying?
About what his response of, like, if he's past the knee contusion?
Joe asked him, like, so are you past this? And he was like, just, like, did hand motions for a while and didn't say anything. So.
Yeah, he basically said, let's see here. He said, making it work as much as I can tell you. But he said that after he, like, played around for, like, a few seconds. So, like, you can tell just by that he probably isn't 100%.
No.
But whatever percent he is now is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, if he can stay at this percent. I mean, he probably eventually wants to feel like his knees aren't hurting, but.
He was also very funny. He was like, a contusion. That's what we're calling it, right? Or that's what it's called or something. Like, it was very Stephen Adams-y.
Yeah, it was. So something like, that's the word. Tis, which. I may have made this comment before on here, but Steven Adams' go-to is like, oh, it's just a bruise, like no matter what the injury is. A contusion is
a bruise. Yeah, this is a bruise.
It is a bruise.
Accurate.
generally, a like pretty serious bruise, but he's getting over it. I think I may have also like maybe a little correction. I think the other day I got his the games that he had been out. I was like, maybe three and two? It was 2-1. Because he was out for two games and then played again and then was out for one right before the last Pacers game. And after he sat out for the two, he looked so sharp when he came back. And then after he sat out for the one, he did not look good in Indiana. So,
yeah. Tonight was 10 straight games he's played in, though. So
definite progress.
A step forward.
Yeah. No, he seems to be on the right track now, and that doesn't seem to be, unless something else happens or it gets knocked, doesn't seem to be something that's going to keep him out recently or in the near future is what I mean to say. Let's go through that third quarter because
that was a weird quarter.
The Thunder has been so bad at third quarters, and tonight there's one point where I looked up.
It was the Gallinari quarter,
It was the Gallinari quarter. So I mentioned that the assist to put the Thunder up by one that Steven had, and then Gallinari just started sinking threes all over the place.
Yeah, he was 4-4 from three, 5-5 from the field. He had half of the Thunder's points in the third quarter. The Thunder had 28 points. Gallinari had 14. He kept them in it. So I thought their offense, it sort of struggled in that third and fourth quarters, except for Gallinari in the third. And then fourth quarter, I thought both teams, you know, it was a bit of a struggle. But, like, had he not shot the ball so well, it could have been rough. Could have been rough in that quarter.
Yeah, I looked up at one point, and the Thunder was leading just in the corner alone, like 20-something to 17. And then they didn't finish great.
Yeah. Another weird part of that second half, and it was primarily It was the third and fourth quarter. So, like, going into halftime, both teams had one offensive rebound. And we know the Thunder have not been a good offensive rebounding team. But Chris Paul, when he asked what went wrong, he said the rebounds, like, both teams finished with, like, 11 and 8 offensive rebounds. So the Pacers had 10 offensive rebounds in the last two quarters. So that was another thing that just stuck out.
Yeah. They probably should do that better.
Yeah.
No, I mean, as you said in your story the other day, which if you haven't read it, go look at it. They're forfeiting offensive rebounds for transition points, right? And so, I mean, you look at the Pacers tonight, they only had 8 points in transition. That was on 3 of 7 shooting on the fast break. So, like, the Thunder's pretty happy
with
that.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, the Thunder aren't trying to get offensive rebounds, but you don't want guys like Sabonis and Miles Turner to get in there and get those offensive rebounds. But, yeah, just one thing that stood out about that second half.
Yeah, so the Thunder goes in. I mean, it was such a back and forth fourth quarter then. So, I mean, we talked about that last opportunity where, didn't we? It wasn't on the video. Oh, no.
Sometimes we get confused.
I really thought that we did our video blog right before this, and I thought that
we led with that on the video, so... It's hard to keep this stuff straight.
It is. We're doing three different media. Media. that is the... Oh, no. I gave it speak.
Mediums.
Media. Definitely media. We're doing three different media in one night. Hard to keep them all straight. All right. Should have done this earlier. Let's break down the end of the game then.
Yeah. So, well... Let's go to the very end, basically. So 17 seconds left. I should know this. I don't. I don't know how many seconds were left when this possession started, but the Thunder's down by 3. They've got 2 timeouts left. You're thinking, okay, maybe Billy calls one at this point. They don't get into an action straight away, but eventually on that possession with about 17 seconds left, they find Terrence Ferguson for a pretty good look on a corner three that could have tied the game. So the debate naturally after the game is, do you call a timeout, set something up, or are you happy with that shot? Everyone we talked to, from Billy to Chris Paul, said, you know, that they were happy with that shot. It's probably better than anything you can drop out of a timeout anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you're – and the Thunder, I will say, has generally been pretty good at – I don't know about this season. I haven't looked at them. But especially last year and then moving into this season, Billy Donovan has been really good at drawing up plays out of timeouts to get baskets. But, I mean, the goal coming out of a timeout, so theoretically, you do call a timeout, you drop a play. The goal is to get an open look. And Ferguson got an open look.
They got an open look. I mean...
And Ferguson... You probably wouldn't draw up that play for Ferguson. He wouldn't be your...
You would not.
He would not be your first couple options, but he is a three-point shooter. It's not like...
Yeah, he's a 36% shooter. I mean, it's not great,
like you had
Deontay
Burton stepping up there and be like, yep, yeah, let me take this... Not, I mean, not sorry, Deontay. But, like, he's not... That's not his strength.
And it's also a corner three where you want him to be in the first place.
Right.
So.
Ferguson is a good corner three-point shooter. You have that open shot. You have the defense scrambling a little bit.
Yeah. That's the other thing. I mean, the Pacers are a good defensive team. Sure, you're able to draw something up out of a timeout, but you also allow the defense to settle and not get beat on the fast break. So I don't think, you know, in hindsight you can – say anything bad about that decision. The only thing you could say is, yeah, you would not have drawn up a play for Terrence Ferguson in the flow. That
it was close, though.
Terrence
I thought
Ferguson.
It was going in up until the very last minute, and then it hit the rim and bounced out. But
he was 2 of 5 before that from 3. So it's not like he was like 0 for 7 or something.
Sure.
Like he had made a couple threes in this game.
Yeah. So then, I mean, that was really the Thunder's
last
good shot. So, I mean, it was 103 to 100 at that point. Then Pacers make a couple free throws and then have a turnover. And then that's pretty much it. Holiday makes a dunk. Chris Paul misses.
Chris Paul, I was on Basketball Reference this evening, as we tend to do, and
no way.
Midway through the fourth quarter, Chris Paul had 0 points.
Yeah,
Chris Paul has had 1 0-point game in his whole career, and that was in April of 2010 when he was a member of the Hornets when they were still in New Orleans. So that was a fun historical nugget to look up. So
he pulled out with 4 tonight, though.
Yeah, and he you know, if the Thunder would have won this game, he had back to back jumpers that were pretty key.
Those were huge. The Thunder was
both fadeaway.
Was looking at potentially fading away.
we'll let that slide.
But he doesn't make those, and suddenly you're looking at a pretty sizable deficit. And to get those two super quick, tough shots to land and then pull the Thunder within, I think it was 3 or something like that. It was very close.
I think it's 3, yeah.
2 or 3. Probably a basket.
Yeah, and then off the second fadeaway, Nate McMillan called timeout. So the Thunder definitely had some momentum after that. But it was a rough. I mean, he had 10 assists.
And
0 turnovers, but 2 of 9. You just are used to Chris Paul.
93-91. Sorry.
Yeah. 4 points though. 4 points. Chris Paul. Strange night. And also.
Yeah, not
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is still struggling a bit.
He's definitely in a shooting slump. I think he's playing.
It's a prolonged slump at this point.
It is. It's not just like he had a game. He's strung together several. I thought he played pretty well on defense.
Yeah. He was -19, which was the worst on the team tonight. 7 of 19 really from the floor, 1 of 7 from 3. And he's just, you know, he probably didn't do himself any favors expectation wise the way he started out the season.
No.
Just like, oh my gosh, this guy's like a star already. And then I think he's, you know, if you're game planning against the Thunder, he was probably getting more and more attention and probably guarding him differently, and that coupled with you're not shooting the ball super well, it's got to be hard. I mean, he's 21 years old in his second year, so this is, I don't think it's like a cause for concern, but he just hasn't been very good recently.
Yeah, I think Billy Donovan even said, like, to start the year, you know, when you don't know much about Shai, and or especially Shai with this team, your priorities as an opposing team are going to be Chris Paul, probably Danilo Gallinari, Steven Adams. So you're looking at Shai being like your fourth priority or something like that. And then he gets off to that hot start and it's like, nope, bumping you right up.
Yeah. So 5 of 7, or let's see here, 7 of 19 tonight, 5 of 17 in his previous game, just going off 4 of 13, 4 of 10, 5 of 12. So he's had 5 straight games where he hasn't shot better than 42%. So that's definitely a slump. And it's most notable from 3. He was 1 of 7 tonight from 3. He was 2 of 8 and 1 for 6 in those 2 games against the Pelicans, then 0 for 2. So he's like 4 out of his last 21 from 3. So not great.
Yikes.
Just a slump.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like this is going to be... He had to regress to the mean.
He's still playing. Like, I feel like he has the most minutes played every single night.
He's playing an insane number of minutes. He had 36 tonight. And I've written about how much of a huge jump that is from what he was playing last season when he was in the 20s, low 20s. But it's all part of a learning process for him. He's only in his second year, mm-hmm. and he's going to continue to get better, and this shooting slump is not going to last forever. And, like, ideally for the Thunder, he gets something out of it, right? He gets a focus on defense or a mentality to get yourself out of a rut. Especially because, I mean, if at last year he was in a slump, it's like, oh, you're a rookie, you're not the guy on this team, like, you're playing 20 some minutes, that's not gonna be a huge deal. But with his position here, if he's in a shooting slump, it's gonna be a big deal, and it's gonna be something that everyone focuses on.
Yeah, and especially, like, you know, again, we've talked about this a ton, but, like, this it's better for the future of the franchise for this team to lose. Obviously, they're trying to win. So, like, given the fact that they're trying to win, that fans are coming to see them win, like, he's got, like, way more pressure than, like, you would expect to be in this situation. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting to keep following Shea throughout the season. And also Darius Bazley, I'm not saying he's hit a rookie wall because he's not played, like, huge minutes to notice, but no. There's just times, like, he dribbles to nowhere, or, you know, he's trying to make so much happen.
Yeah.
And tonight was a little rough. We've seen him be really good as a catch and shoot guy, but just the development of these young guys is probably, you know, definitely the more important thing than wins and losses at this point.
Yeah. Abdul Nader check in. Another solid night.
Yeah. He's finishing well at the rim.
Especially to start the game. He,
like, taking contact.
He had, I think it was him who had, maybe it was Ferguson.
He was 3 of 4.
There were two early in the game where he certainly finished through contact, and it was impressive. And he made a three early on when it was him, Burton. It was the second unit was out there, and it was very clear what everyone's roles were, and no one was shooting. Everyone was trying to drive the rim. Him, Burton, Bazley, Schroeder, and I'm not sure which center was out there. But it was very clear that he was the only guy who was going to shoot threes. I think Schroeder ended up draining a three somewhere in there, but it was such a relief when finally, like, because they were just packing the paint and no one was getting anywhere, and finally he puts up a three and was like, oh my gosh, right after Deontay Burton had passed up a wide open three and Abdul Nader had a semi-contested three off of that pass from Deontay. But it was a breath of fresh air.
He has been impressive. Like, you know, some of his minutes earlier in the year were a little rough, and then when Diallo got hurt, it's like, okay, like, he's going to be thrown in there, and I think he's, like, played, you know, about as good as he can in these minutes while Diallo's been out.
He looks a lot more confident. There were times at the beginning of the season where he just looked lost, and it was one of those things where it's like, all of these guys know how to play. All these guys know this system.
He just was rushing through everything, like, you could see his mind just moving so fast out there, and, like, it wasn't in sync with his body, and things weren't right. But yeah, now he looks a lot more comfortable. It's gonna be really hard for him to stick in the rotation.
Yeah,
I mean, Billy has already said, like, Diallo's getting a spot back, but that doesn't mean you can't, you know, stagger the minutes a little bit. And it's not like Diallo's going to be 100% on the first day he's back. So I think Nader can stick around in the rotation.
Yeah, especially if like, Bazley only had 11 and a half minutes tonight. So if he's around there, you can imagine Nader eating up some of those. Obviously, Diallo would be your main, gonna say, shooting guard, but I guess technically three in that second unit. a wing. Yeah, he's gonna be a main wing in that second unit, but that doesn't mean that Nader doesn't get any minutes.
Also, like, this could all change very soon. If Danilo Gallinari gets traded, they could get a piece back that's like a human and not just a pick.
December 15th is a big date.
And Billy was asked about that today and basically said that he's not having those conversations with anybody and you know, very much wanted to downplay that any trade rumors are not looming over the team. And he said that he's here to coach the guys who are here. So Billy's not the guy who's going to tell us about, you know, it's not like he's going to say, oh, yeah, like, we're really worried that we're going to lose Danilo soon, even though that's the expectation that Gallinari is going to be traded. But that all that to say is that, like, minutes could become available for guys down the roster.
Yeah. The reason why December 15th is significant is because you suddenly get a lot more guys available because the guys who signed as free agents this summer become trade eligible.
And guys who were drafted as well. So you open up a much bigger player pool.
Cool. Anything else you want to add on this game?
No. I think that covers
straightforward.
It.
Straightforward. Perfect. Well, Thunder have one more home game against the Timberwolves before heading on a long road trip.
It's a West Coast odyssey.
Yeah. Which is going to be...
not all coast, but...
West
of here.
Go Portland, Utah, Sacramento, Denver between the 8th and the 14th. So a long and really
pack your,
the
pack
only...
Pack your bags, Maddie.
I got to soon. I probably will do it way last minute. But yeah, the only breather really is the Kings. If you can,
yeah, I don't think there's any breathers really.
There's no breathers for this team all season, but that would be the one where there's a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, it's a really, really tough road trip.
So it'll be fun. But first, one more home game. So thank you for tuning in for this one. Like it, love it. Subscribe, share it with your friends, your enemies, your pets, your family, I already said friends. Anyone else?
Your coworkers.
That's a good one. Get them all to subscribe and read our stuff on The Oklahoman. And we will see you again on Friday after the Timberwolves game.